26. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quagamush, Ben Milstead with you live inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. 654-ROAR is the number. In addition to whatever hilarity happens today, and it will, don't worry, we're going to talk about some coaches today. We're going to do a few, a couple win total plays today. Just kind of get that out there. We'll talk some Braves Twins today. Mike Noonan is going to join us at 1:45. Talk a little Clemson men's soccer. Women's soccer now ranked. Men's soccer beginning its season with Furman, who's legitimately like top five in the nation. And they've got a big promotion coming up tomorrow night, so excited about that. We've got Will Vandervoort joining us, Humpty Headlines. I'm gonna wreck the Dodgers today. I'm tired of them. I want them to go away in a fiery pit somewhere. So I spent, let me just tell you, Ben, before I say hello to you, I spent legitimately 10 minutes this morning watching a video of someone forensically breaking down the ways that the principal owner of the Dodgers doesn't go to jail. And then I read five stories about it. It has captured my full attention, and I am here for a white-collar scandal to save baseball. Burn it down to save baseball. How are you? I'm sure you had a similar morning.
Oh, yeah, you know, nothing at all going on. I am intrigued by your level of excitement about the demise of someone. I love this. The someone then becomes an organization. I love this.
It's juicy.
Now you have my attention.
Okay, let's start with that, all right? Because the Braves lost last night. My Reds didn't even try to score last night.
They lost, and you didn't even say good things about them, and they still lost. What the heck?
Well, Tyler Mahle actually pitched pretty well. He did give up a 792-foot home run on a hanging splitty to Josh Bell. That did happen. It was not as bad a night as the texture brings up to the Mariners, which this is a pre-hump day headline. This did happen. The Reddit page for the Mariners said, we're not allowing baseball talk today. We're only going to talk about sailboats. It was so bad, Ben. They had a position player pitch at, I think it was like 13-0 or something like that, that just got destroyed. And at 21-0 last night, with the bases loaded and one out, there's a sack fly to center field, and Julio Rodriguez catches the ball for the second out and flings the ball up into the stands. That's how the Brewers got to 22.
Look, the Brewers are not a great team, but they're not terrible. Four errors and 22 runs last night.
Yeah.
Commit four errors, five whole hits, and give up 22 runs on 22 hits. An efficient 22 runs.
Remarkable. You know, it was very efficient. It was very efficient. A lot of the scores last night were like 3-1, 4-2, 3-0. And then you just see a giant 2 and then another number. It's a stark contrast.
Did you happen to see Tatis Jr. bring the grand slam back in the park against the Mets last night?
This is where, like, wins above replacement.
That's crazy.
It should reflect legitimate, the things that you legitimately did to impact the game on a given day.
Because pretty sure that catch counted as four runs.
Fernando Tatis Jr. Okay, what was the final score of this last
time? 5-2.
What do we have? 5-2. Okay.
So they lose. They didn't catch it, they lose.
They literally lose. You're the win. You're worth one win last night. You were worth the win. Do you know, in addition to that, okay, Fernando Tatis Jr. hits a home run in the first inning, hits a home run in the fifth inning.
I didn't even realize that.
So he is literally worth, he brought four back. He was worth seven runs last night. Seven. Nobody on the Brewers was worth seven runs, and they scored 22. A remarkable, absolutely remarkable individual effort by Fernando Tatis Jr. who I did not make fun of for the Padres. The Padres now nine games over 500 in the biggest fake it till they make it situation.
Have yourself a night.
You know, it just it's remarkable, remarkably good. Can we flame the Dodgers at the start? Can we do this now, and then we'll go to the phones and get Roger in here? I really did. I was like, you know when you start reading about something and you're like, I need to go back and do the intro course first? Like, I need to build a foundation of knowledge before I can actually understand this.
Mm-hmm.
This is like...
I watched the season finale of a TV show before I start watching the next season that comes out because I have forgotten everything that just happened.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what this is. So the Dodgers beat the Rockies 7-6 last night, but they lost yesterday. They lost big. Because the owner of the Dodgers is in deep doo-doo with the feds. And there was a long, like, you know how Twitter will let you, like, write an article and just post it on Twitter? There was a long Twitter article with subheaders. I mean, thousands of words. I was in the car. I bet I spent 20 minutes reading that. And Leah's asking me what I'm reading, and I said, you actually don't want to know. It was way nerdy. That was like 501. What I read yesterday is 301. This is essentially what's going to happen to the Dodgers, okay? And I'm convinced of this. It's not going to actually help, but in the world, this would save baseball. If this one, if this guy goes to prison and the Dodgers' whole Ponzi scheme gets taken down, it would save baseball. And we don't have to do any of the union stuff.
Ponzi scheme?
Ponzi scheme.
Okay.
Ben, here's what's happening. And you live on the mortgage side, so you probably can fill in gaps better than I can here, okay? So the Dodgers, there are little reports that have come out. There's a big one in The Athletic related to a regulatory filing that happened yesterday. Where, and I'm not going to go into all the weeds, for sure nobody wants that. But essentially... because of increased federal scrutiny of, so who made a loan to whom? The government has effectively found out that this billionaire who runs Guggenheim Capital, they have investments all over the place, Chelsea FC, used to do the Lakers, Dodgers, all these different things, and in entertainment and all this stuff. They were all loaning money to each other and taking out way more. It went from like, in the disclosure, one of the disclosures, it went from like there was $1.5 billion worth of loans amongst these companies, and then when it turned out they had to turn over some other stuff, it ended up being like $18 billion in loans that all these shell corporations are passing off to each other, so that if they need capital, they just use favorable terms. That there's reporting on the Dodgers TV contract, where the Dodgers TV network holds $1.7 billion in loans from the parent company of the Dodgers through shell corporations that are also tied to retirement accounts for Tom, Dick, and Harry's all over the country.
Are these publicly traded companies?
These are not. These are privately held companies.
So what is... I feel like we're missing a piece here, because what exactly would be the issue of people loaning money to each other under favorable terms?
Okay, so it's tied to insurance policies, life insurance policies. Okay,
so that's what we're most likely inflating values of companies, and this is the way we're doing it. I mean, I guess maybe perhaps that's the illegal part that we're getting into.
And there are disclosure issues. Okay. So, like, they have kind of pieced this together over time. And like I said, some of this is like the 301 class when I need the 101 class. Essentially, I watched a 10-minute video this morning where there was a guy that said that he has to come up with something like $20 billion by the end of the year to make all of the outstanding debts that have no explanation right. He got about a third of the way with selling his stake of the Lakers, which there's been some issues there about what are the buses going to do and all this stuff. Mark Walter sold his stake of the Lakers. He and his partner have put up their shares of Chelsea FC. They can't get there, okay? This guy's saying the only way to get there that is actually available to him is selling the Dodgers. It's the only way to come up with $20 billion to make all these loans right. Otherwise, they're going to get basically brought up on loan fraud charges because of how these shell corporations have used these life insurance policies to essentially leverage one against another. They are the lender and the borrower of these loans that, again, are tied to Tom, Dick, and Harry's in Iowa somewhere.
Wow.
Looking for life insurance payouts.
That's elaborate.
Yeah. There's like a dozen of these that were named in one of the shorter stories. And there are more. There's probably dozens, plural, of shell companies that are either loosely aligned with this group or directly tied to this group, including, like I said, the Dodgers, who they have. We talked about the situation with their RSN network, their local TV rights, where they are not subject to revenue sharing because of the previous bankruptcy by previous ownership group. Well, now they can lend themselves $1.7 billion because borrowed money is not subject to revenue sharing. So if they say that, yeah, we're operating at this much capital, but it's all borrowed money, then it's not subject to revenue sharing. Major League Baseball.
That can't be allowed to happen. You can't borrow from yourself to avoid some type of penalty. That's like me saying, I'm going to move this money from my savings to my checking, and it's off limit. That's no.
Exactly right.
You can't do that.
Exactly right. So they have now tied the loan.
So that's what they've been doing.
Yes.
Okay, so we're money laundering, in effect, is what I'm now hearing you say.
That is very much what it looks like. So this is because they own a bunch of these things, it has become a bit of a Ponzi scheme because the money the Dodgers make goes to leverage the loans to this other thing. And so they end up just sharing money all around their own company. So this guy's either going to prison or he has to come up with $20 billion. And the Dodgers might be the only way that he does it. So if he sells the Dodgers and their whole scheme to avoid any type of financial penalty whatsoever, even within the rules of baseball, if it is uncovered, then we save it. Now, again, the players are still not going to do what the owners want, and the owners are still not going to do what the players want. But it would give me so much joy for all the people that lectured us about, well, people are just mad that the Dodgers want to win. Yeah, if you can just hide all your money from the revenue sharing and then you borrow money from yourself to put in escrow so you can fund deferred payments to the tune of over $1 billion, because I can just borrow money from myself, put it in escrow. I think you have to have 5% or something in escrow to be able to make that right. Then, of course, you'll be able to. Nobody else is committing white-collar crimes. Like, sorry, Alex Anthopoulos isn't allowed, and Liberty Media is not allowed to commit white-collar crimes to win a World Series. It's actually, you know what it is? It's actually worse than the Astros. It's actually worse than the trash can, because you still have to hear the trash can. This is literally a rigged game where, again, I've said the issue with the Dodgers is that they created a market. They built a sandbox that nobody else could play in. They did it by lending themselves money contrary to federal law. That's what it looks like.
So now they have to be sold. The number of buyers for a very successful organization, but one that is up to their eyeballs, are about to be up to their eyeballs in debt and have an enormous payroll, the number of buyers for that would not be very large, one would think. And it's really easy to continue to spend in the way that they have when you think you have an unlimited checking account. The next person's not going to be that way. We have to pray that the ghost of Marchant comes and buys and then just burns it to the ground. Like, all you guys with big salaries, you better enjoy it now. It's the last one you're ever getting.
You know, the Tom Dundon, how he's pinching pennies with Portland, that's 100% what they need with the Dodgers. Just a penny pincher that's like, we're not spending more than $25 on any meal for any player. Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
let's do that. Roger, we're coming to you on the other side. 654-ROAR is the number. I'm glad I did all that research and then got to just... But you know, if we have forensic accountants, 654-ROAR, if you want to correct the things I've said or put a finer point on it, you be my guest, people who know what they're talking about. Hour one continues after this.
food, fun, and a whole lot of football.
The Roar's 2026 Bud Light College Football Kickoff Show will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley,
August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m.
Come out and meet all your favorite hosts and producers.
The Roar, where every day is game day.
Let me tell you about our friends at Tiger Sports Shop. If you're looking for a place to shop today, look, man, any place indoors is good when it's 90 plus, but Tiger Sports Shop, you can come out with new outerwear, you can come out with new tank tops, you can come out with swim trunks, you can come out with beach towels, you can come out with decals for your car, accessories, purses, scarves. They got everything, man. We're going to talk about the push for 6K to get 6,000 fans to watch Clemson United tomorrow against Furman. Get yourself a new shirt. Get yourself a Clemson United t-shirt at Tiger Sports Shop. In fact, Dr. Ibrahim, 50 years ago, he established a store so that his soccer players would look better. They have access to the best gear. So the least we can do is buy some new soccer gear to go support the Tigers at Historic Ricks Field. Two locations in Clemson, downtown Highway 123, always up at tigersports.com.
No scripts.
No spin.
Yeah.
Just the truth.
105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar.
Where every day is game day.
This is Dr. Ted Swan with Tiger Diagnostics. We always put patients first. Did you know that it's your right to choose which lab you use? At our draw centers, we have clean spaces and friendly faces with little to no waiting. Come with your doctor's order or test on your own with one of our signature health panels. These panels are designed to give you valuable insight to empower your health. Check us out at tigerdiagnosticslab.com. Locations in Seneca, Anderson, Greenville, and after hours in Piedmont.
Buying a mattress is painful. That's why we developed the Duo Mattress, a patented two-piece mattress design that makes this process easy. The Duo is the most cost-effective, sustainable, adaptable, and comfortable mattress you've ever experienced. With our 100-night sleep trial and unique comfort exchange, you can rest easy knowing you're taken care of with engineered sleep.
Recurring drain issues could be more than a clog. It could be your sewer line. Older homes, especially in established neighborhoods with big trees, often have failing pipes underground. The good news? There's a faster, more cost-effective solution with no digging. With One Tom Plumber's one-day sewer line repair, replacement, or lining, you can fix the problem before it becomes a disaster. Right now, get a free line inspection and don't wait for a sewer backup. Call One Tom Plumber. The name is the number one, Tom Plumber.
William from Scores Jewelers. There are a lot of events in life that are memorable, but certain moments are milestones and need to be commemorated. A marriage, the birth of a child, an anniversary or birthday. These are special markers in a life well lived that deserve a little more recognition. Whether you've discovered the person that makes you feel alive or your little one is ready to graduate, Scores Jewelers can help you find the perfect symbol of your feelings and commitment. Show those you love how much these moments mean with a gift that will last a lifetime from Scores Jewelers. I invite you to Scores Jewelers, where we specialize in helping you say, I love you. I'm William Nichols, and I want to be your jeweler.
For decades, Best Buy Metals has been shaping more than metal. We've been building strength. One roof, one wall, one community at a time. Made to withstand difficult storms. Because what we make doesn't just cover buildings, it protects what matters most. Visit us on Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greer or online at bestbuymetalroof.com. Best Buy Metals, designed to inspire, made to protect, driven to serve.
Hi, I'm Ashley Moore, co-owner of Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn. Summer is here, and every cookout, pool day, and road trip deserves a better snack option. Poppington's is popped fresh in Greenville using real beef tallow from our family farm, never seed oils, for a rich flavor and perfect crunch you can feel good about. Find us in downtown Greenville at all AMPM Farms Butchery and Market locations, or order online at poppingtons.com. Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn, proudly owned, proudly popped.
When Greg Wales started Kiwi Financial, he wanted to make sure that relationships were a true priority. Through tough times, life celebrations, and everything in between, being there for individual investors, business owners, and retirees through every stage of life has remained his top priority through regular communication, financial education, and trusted guidance. At Kiwi Financial, every financial strategy begins with listening. Whether you're planning for retirement, growing your business, or preparing for the future, you'll receive personal advice designed designed around your goals, not someone else's. That's the difference a long-term relationship can make. Whatever financial goals you hope to achieve, call 654-5043 or visit kiwifinancial.com. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Graydon Securities, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Graydon Securities, LLC. An SEC-registered investment advisor. Offer investment advisory services under the DBA of Graydon Wealth Management. Kiwi Financial Group is not affiliated with Graydon Securities, LLC.
Michelle here. Look, in sports, the best teams know when to make their move. Sherwin-Williams is making theirs with 30% off Duration, SuperDeck, and Woodscapes products, August 14th through the 24th. You know, I'm looking at these studio walls and I'm thinking, I wouldn't mind a little more red in here. Get that Cardinal spirit going. Yeah, I like that. Order online, get everything delivered right to your door, or swing by your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Walk can get a little excited sometimes.
And a cold three for the win. Yes! And a cold with 3.1 seconds left.
Come join the party.
Out of Bounds
from noon to three, right here on The Roar.
All right, before we go to Roger's phone call, let me tell you about a great lawn. I drive past great lawns to get here, man, and I just hope they're using Grass Nerds, because that's how you take your lawn to the next level. That's how you make sure that lawn really pops, that you have the care that your lawn needs. A lot of people are doing a lot for the yards. A lot of people doing great work to make sure that their yard is the talk of the neighborhood. But are you doing what you need to do in the dormant season? Are you doing what you need to do to protect your lawn? Are you doing what you need to do to make sure that predatory bugs and insect, things like that, are you doing what you need to do to protect your lawn from those and to make sure that your lawn is ready to flourish in the spring? That's what Grass Nerds can help you with right now. The retention rate is well over 90% because people know they're serious and they see the results. You can see the reviews online. You can see all the different ways they can help you, all the different plans. These are local people who care about local lawns, and they're going to give that attention to you at grassnerds.com. Let's go to Roger at KiwiQ, joins us next. Hey, Roger, what's up?
Hi, Quok and Ben. I have no comment on your topic, but Quok, I wanted to rewind the time machine to about the same time in August, but 4 years ago. I'd been listening to The Roar ever since moving here, but never called in. That was until that show in 2022. It was the start of classes at Clemson. Your comment that made me call in was, I was late for my first class my freshman year. My grandson, Brett, whom you met at Tiger Tailgate at last year's LSU game, attends University of Alabama. He was a freshman in 2022, first day of classes there, too. Now he's a senior. So my comment to you was, I know my grandson will not be late for his first class. His dad played there under Ray Perkins, and I think Dabo and Mickey Kahn were graduate assistants there. So I was with Brett last week in Tuscaloosa. I took the Amtrak from Clemson to the stop in Tuscaloosa. A great train experience and a great week together, talking sports, visiting campus, and his favorite eating spots.
Listen, that's amazing. I love that you got to experience
that.
That's an amazing story. This the Amtrak. I mean, I rode the train in Europe, and we were talking about how we need to ride the Amtrak. It really was a pleasurable experience.
It was. I rode coach, and it was about an 8-hour trip. So that was a bit much, but during the day, because it left at 6 o'clock in the morning, there was lots of scenery on the way. So that was pretty cool. On the road, the ride back, though, that left at 3 in the afternoon. We got back at Clemson at 2 in the morning. So that was a little bit much, and I didn't have a long turnaround time. But, yeah, it was fun. I hadn't been on a train in at least 60-plus years, Quok and Ben. So it was fun, and when I found out they went from Clemson to Tuscaloosa, I said, I got to make a train trip.
That's incredible. Tell Brad I said good luck in his senior year. And, yeah, if he got off on the right foot on his first class this year, it'll be great, you know. Doesn't have to define you, but it can.
That was today, first class at Alabama.
Very cool. Roger, hey, appreciate you checking in. Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, Quack. Thanks, Ben.
That is my best advice to first-time college students, is just be on time for that first one. If it's an 8 a.m., for sure be on time. Don't wake up in a panic, man.
My son started his sophomore year today at Clemson, and I'm told that he left an hour early because of, well, parking.
You got to now. I did not have to deal with it because I was on campus freshman year. Didn't have to deal with the parking. When I did have to deal with parking on campus, I had to manage time very delicately.
Man, it's been an adventure.
You're just glad to get started.
I have never in my life seen so many apps and websites and get a little information from this and a little. It's been interesting.
You're saying the app industry is like the TV industry, where people are like, what if we got all the streaming services and we just put them in one and we just watch whatever it gave us at any time? People are like, that's cable.
I'm saying Clemson does most things, in fact, at an elite level. This could be an area of improvement.
Great improvement, I would say. And look, to parents out there who have to deal with that, Godspeed.
His first class today was in Tillman. I'm like, hey, look, that was easy to find. The only building on campus I could help you with. I know where that is.
I realize this. Lee and I, and Hollis likes to be on campus too, so we'll walk around, whatever. People ask us where to go sometimes, and we're like, Leah knows more than me because she's on campus every day. She's working on campus. But I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know where that is anymore. I start telling stories like a grandpa. Like, well, used to be right over there where that crater is right there. That's where I went for mine. But I don't know where stuff is anymore. I can't help people when they're trying to find. So I feel help. Yeah, I got 2 degrees. No help. I'm here like 120 days a year or something. Can't help you.
Look, last week we got lost in the library over there. And there's not even any books. And I still got lost. On the wrong floor.
I think that's Belle at Beauty and the Beast that gets lost in books. So yeah. Honestly, if you're telling that story, you should tell it that way. I got lost in a book in the library. And people will think, you know,
nobody
if you tell
would
it like
believe that.
They would think, oh man, Ben's an avid reader. I never knew. Oh, man. 654 Roar is the number. You know, we were talking about the Dodgers. I do have a couple things on college football today. We were talking about the Dodgers, though. Are we worried about the Braves? Like, level of concern? Are we just chalking it up? Just a couple bad nights? I'll tell you something. I did look this up. The Twins have won 8 of their last 9 home series, and that is against a wide array of opponents. So the Braves are not special here. The Twins have sort of been doing this to everybody. So maybe that gives you a little solace. Maybe you want to score a few more runs, but it's not like the Braves are losing to teams that are terrible.
The best teams have slumps. The worst teams have stretches where they're good. That is baseball. But am I concerned? I remain concerned about the Braves, Kwok. I do, and, you know, I mentioned that about a month ago, and somebody said, what's wrong with you? They're in first place. Nothing to worry about.
That doesn't sound familiar to me.
I'm not worried about winning the NL East. I mean, Daniel High School could win the NL East right now.
Fair.
I'm worried about doing more. That's not the goal here. You know, now I'm actually a little worried about winning the NL East.
Well, I was going to say, the Phillies just swept the Twins. The Phillies are the one team that's beaten the Twins recently at home.
you've lost four games off of your lead in like 8 days.
Yeah. Maybe a little concerning from that standpoint. You still have seven games against the Phillies, including a four-game series in Philly in a couple of weeks. So I would say be more than four ahead when you go to Philly. Because if they are playing well, they're going to be hard to beat there. Texter says this. Ben Listener says, Braves don't have staying power. Here's my concern, and you tell me if I'm being too Pollyanna on this one with regards to the Braves. I just don't think they're going to not hit. When they don't hit for a long stretch, which they have this year, you know, about once a month they go through a week where they don't hit. I think that's basically everyone. I assume when they get to the playoffs they're going to hit some. You give me a lineup with Acuna and Baldwin and Murphy and Olsen and Albies and Harris and Riley. I'm assuming you're going to hit Dubon. I'm assuming that you're going to hit. I'm assuming that you're going to have success offensively. But there are some stretches, though, that do look like this. And if you look since the All-Star break, there have been a lot of ones and twos and threes since the All-Star break. And that is a little that we're now in, maybe a little after the All-Star break, maybe last week of July. Let's start on Friday, July 24th. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Let me see here. Let me see how many games. That's 24 games, okay? The Braves have scored three or fewer runs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times. In the last 24 games. So roughly half the time, you're at three or fewer. That's a lot of stress on your starting pitching, and increasingly it is too much stress on your bullpen that has, you know, we've talked about they really need Suarez to get back in the swing because guys are getting overexposed a little bit.
They're really struggling with knowing their batting order right now because they can't figure out who's going to be hot when. And you know, last night, Acuna 0 for 4. Albies 1 for 4, and then Austin Riley 0 for 4 again. I mean he's your hole right now because you don't know where to put him. I mean you've got him. He was batting seventh last night. I think he was eighth a couple nights ago, and you're just not getting anything from him. So your stars are kind of staggered every other batter. But when they don't hit, you can't manufacture those runs, and the margin for error in their batting order is just very small, in my opinion.
What's amazing to me is if you look at some of the indicators that the Braves have had recently, there are you would think like, oh, there's too many singles, too many strikeouts. Well, not really. A lot of extra base hits. In fact, you look at the last five games where they've scored five or fewer. In fact, they've scored 11 runs combined in the last five. They're 1-4. They've got 30 hits and, let's see, 4, 7, 9. 12 of those 30 hits are for extra bases. That's 40%. That's pretty good. Strikeouts, you've got fewer than 9 strikeouts, which to me is a good barometer. You've got fewer than 9 strikeouts in your last four games.
Your seasoned veterans are batting, and I'm not talking about like Drake Baldwin, not a seasoned veteran. Michael Harris, not even. Michael Harris having a great year. He's hitting 292. But, I mean, Acuna's 241. Albies has cooled off 251. I mean, not terrible. Olsen, nothing bad to say about Olsen, but, you know, he's sort of a hit-or-miss guy. 262. Riley, 222. I mean, he was so bad at the beginning of the year. He had a hole to dig out of, and I get it. He's gotten better, but you've got to have one of those guys, two of those guys, contributing every night. And when none of them do, you have like you had last night.
You're right about the sequencing of the batting order, too. Because like when I was watching them last night, they'd have one or two quality at-bats, but they wouldn't have that third one.
Right.
Because it was somebody that's, like, to your point, when you don't know night to night, you don't know who not to hit fourth. for example. So I do think that's a fair point. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got some college football stuff to get to. More after this.
What's going on, everybody? Sam Jones here. I'm excited to serve as the lead commentator for the Tri-County Technical...
Nerd alert, that's fine. Maybe it... You'll probably agree when this is over that we should have done it.
That was the curse of the mice over here.
Of course. The Mises.
The too many mouses.
Mouses. What is your impression of where Austin Riley... Like, in terms of the batting order. Like, how would you assess Austin Riley as a contributor? That's a really open-ended question.
Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't.
Okay, let me just give you the numbers, okay? Because I think it'll match your perception that it's been a problem in run-scoring situations, but maybe not when guys aren't on base, whatever. We can look at some of that in a second. The best, in terms of OPS, the best spot for him to hit this year has been seventh. His OPS is 769 in the seventh spot.
Okay.
The next best is eighth. His OPS is 749 in the eighth spot. Then it's fifth at 672, which is not great, but all right. When he hits cleanup, his OPS is 589. He's only hitting 173 in the cleanup spot. And his OPS is 562 in the sixth spot. For some reason, when he hits sixth, he only hits singles. It's kind of weird. So this is what I'm saying. Austin Riley can hit bottom third of the order. The problem is that Austin Riley is getting paid like a middle of the order bat. That would be my issue. So if you're starting Mauricio Dubon and you're starting Mike Yastrzemski or Lane Thomas, you've already got a couple of spots that need to be bottom of the order guys. You don't need Austin Riley getting the bottom of the order. Sean Murphy does not need to be... He is being paid like a middle-of-the-order bat. Now, maybe Murphy can hit seventh or whatever. Maybe Riley can hit seventh. You can afford one of those guys to hit bottom third of the order. But when you have Dubon and... Like, your main lineup right now, to me, is Dubon at shortstop, even though they're playing Dubon around and they're playing Jarvis some. I think, like, game one of a playoff series, you're probably going to play Mauricio Dubon at shortstop, and you're going to have... Either Thomas or Yastrzemski in the outfield, those are your worst two hitters. Those are the guys that need to be hitting eighth and ninth. But Riley and Murphy are both profiling like bottom third of the order bats. So you've got to get somebody to hit like fifth or sixth for you. That's really that's got an opportunity to really help you. Runners in scoring position, Riley has been terrible. Again, he's profiling like a bottom of the order bat. Two outs, runs in scoring position, he's hitting 194. In a tie game, he's hitting 198. In a one-run game, up or down, he's hitting 204. This is not good. This is not what he needs to be doing. This is not going to help you in a playoff series, because a lot of those are, you know, one or two-run games, and he, again, is supposed to hit in the middle of your order. 100%. Hank says this, and I agree. Riley has at least become a league average, if not slightly better, third baseman. Thank God for Ron Washington, or else he'd be a complete black hole. Defensively, that's correct. Like, defensively, he does have some value at third base, so you can play him every day. And like I say, with the way he's been hitting in August, his numbers don't look great, but he's outperforming his numbers right now. So there's that. Runners in scoring position numbers overall... for Austin Riley, again, these need to be better. He needs to be better with runners in scoring position. There's no question about it. Okay, he has got it. Like, you look at high leverage situations, not very good. He's hitting 254 with 47 RBIs. That still needs to be a little bit better. Men on base 222. Yeah, he needs to be a little better. He does. Texter says this, and I agree with this. I understand you're paying him like middle-of-the-order bats, but should that matter when making the lineup? You want your lineup to give you the best chance to win every day. I agree. This is my point, though. When you're filling out a lineup, would you rather have Mauricio Dubon hitting sixth? And Dubon, his numbers are down a little. Like, his OPS is below 700 now. Would you rather have Dubon hitting sixth or Austin Riley? And if neither one of those is appealing to you, who do you blame more? That would be the question. I just feel like this lineup, if Riley and Murphy are not hitting in the middle of the lineup, it's not quite as long. It's a little more like the lineup we've seen in the last handful of games where they're hitting for extra bases, the dreaded Ben Milstead solo home run, like that's been kind of an issue there, and they're not able to really build innings or move runners or have some quality at-bats. I'll tell you another thing, and I don't have numbers on this, but just watching them, I don't think this team walks enough. I feel like they're swinging a lot right now, and maybe they're getting behind in counts. I'd have to really go study it. But it feels like they're not, for the caliber of bats that they have, there's a little too much chase and not enough patience, especially at early in innings, where you need to have that guy on first base with nobody out. Are you buying it? Again, I don't have numbers on it, but that's just kind of my impression when I watch them hit right now.
No, I would agree with that. Just to pile on a little bit more, I also think because they're having a hard time getting that timely hit, I wish they were a little more aggressive on the bases, especially going home. I need a little more of that Ron Washington. Ron used to send everybody.
Oh yeah, it was the auto. Send.
Ron is over there like waving all the time with that arm, like wind it up. I need a little more Ron Washington type over there on third right now.
They do. They're a little more athletic than they run the bases.
Yeah,
I think so. I would agree with that. Let's go to Scott in Greenville, who's up with us next as we wrap up hour one. What's up, Scott?
Talking my talk, baby. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Hope you're doing well. Look, we only got 2 weeks to talk baseball. Then it's all football, right?
Then it's over. Then it's over. We got to get it all in while we can. Hey, before I get into that, I want to just let you know I did confirm with the wife we are going to enjoy the Southern Weaving. That will be her first outing, except for church this Sunday is our goal. But that will be her first outing since everything went down. So
that's great news.
First secular outing, we'll take it.
Yep, you got it. So, smoking hot wife will be on campus. Anyway, hey, Brett, I think we've got a hitting coach problem. I also think we have a head coach between the ears problem. You know, we went on that run earlier in the year, and we're just destroying everybody. We were playing some small ball. We were bunting the ball, hitting opposite field when we needed to. I think we had a – there was a stat I saw one time that said our I forget what they called it, but it was like when your opponent scored in either the top of the inning or the bottom of the previous inning, and then you came up to bat, if you countered that, whatever that stat's called.
The Brad Owens like, rebound runs.
Yeah, the Braves were like 70-something percent in those next innings or next at-bats. Our critical hit, which is when you needed a run and you had, you know, runner on base and you had to have that run, it was like 82%. And since that time, it's like 26 and 17. And so those numbers have come way down. But, man, Austin, look at the guys that are hitting consistently versus the guys that are not. And you've got Riley's been in a rut all year. Kim's been in a rut all year. Jarvis is not hitting hardly anything. Dubon's not hitting well. Mateo was not doing anything. I mean, you got guys that more of the team is not hitting than what is hitting. And that's a problem. At what point in time do we start looking at a pitching or a hitting coach?
You know, it's a good question, Scott. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. We're up against top of the hour.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. I don't know they've got a hitting coach problem. I think some of it is situational. Like, for example, I'm looking at, like, in terms of OPS, the guys that are actually playing, Matt Olson's having a good year, Drake Baldwin's having a good year, Michael Harris having a good year, Acuna's having a fine year, average is a little down, slugs maybe a little down, Albies is hitting well. Some of the issue is that guys like Dominic Smith have come back to earth. Mauricio Dubon has come back to earth. Jorge Mateo came back to earth. And when you have more of those guys because of injuries, when you have more of them in the lineup, you're probably more likely to bunt them or situationally hit than asking your stars to swing hard. That's what I would chalk that up to. Some of it is regression. Honestly, They miss Eli White a little bit. I do think that. Not that Thomas isn't good, but I think they miss Eli White a little bit. All right, let's take a break. Hour one is done. Hour two, I do have some football thoughts. We will get to those on the other side.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson.